Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying a relationship with Jesus, Bible bits from Hebrews. In this session, we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 18, fire that gives sight. Remember the tabernacle, that meeting tent in the wilderness? A picture of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Its silver foundation represented the blood atonement, the wall boards covered with gold, the incarnation. The tent had a roof of four layers, embroidered with white linen, Christ's perfect beauty, goat's hair blanket, perfect substitute, scarlet, ram skins, sacrifice for sin, the badger leather skin, the unattractive humanity. There were ropes holding the tents that showed God's love, tied to brass tent pegs, half in the ground, half above, half picturing Christ Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Priests in the holy place of the temple represent the believer in Christ. There was a problem with the white linen fence, the barrier of perfection of law. There was a solution to the problem, a gate through the fence for all, Jesus Christ. But between the gate and the tent, there was an altar and a wash basin. Unless he comes by faith and receives the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the sinner can never see the glory of the Lord inside the tent. Man is naturally blind to the things of God. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Outside, he can see Jesus as a good and perfect man, but never as Savior and Lord. The sinner must enter through the gate, the door of faith. He must come face to face with the altar of burnt offering, the cross of Christ, the blood of an innocent substitute. Then he can approach God without fear of judgment. The sinner can never see the gold inside the tent until he sees the blood outside the tent. The deity of Jesus Christ can't be seen through morality, good works, or religion. It can only be seen after experiencing the altar, the cross, and the labor, God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "But the natural man," the unsaved person, "does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing," the unbelievers, "whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The Bible is a closed book to the most educated but unconverted man. All the world's degrees will never help him see the truth. The virgin birth, deity of Christ, power of the blood, total depravity of man, literal bodily resurrection, Christ's certain return. These are all spiritually discerned, and yet the most ignorant believer has no difficulty seeing them. Until a sinner comes by faith through Jesus Christ with all his wisdom, with all his education, with all his culture, the Lord is only a good man, a good teacher, a noble martyr. If he remains outside, barred by the white linen fence of the law, he can only see the leather roof of Jesus' humanity and will never see the gold and embroidered linen of his deity and glory. Through the gate, through that gate of faith lies the altar of burnt offering. It was a 7.5-foot square, 4.5 feet high and made of wood overlaid with brass. The wood was not destroyed because it was encased in brass, an airtight enclosure not allowing oxygen. The heat of many sacrifices couldn't affect it. This speaks of the incorruptibility of Jesus Christ. He withstood the heat of God's wrath on our sin and then rose from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And then Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Even the intense heat of God's wrath did not destroy his life. He gave it willingly. John chapter 10, verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Let's look at that altar, which represents the cross, the altar of burnt offering, and its fire for sacrifices. Three facts of the fire of the sacrifice. First, the fire on the altar was ignited supernaturally. It came directly from heaven, not by human hands. The tabernacle was completed. The furniture was in place. Moses and Aaron came out of the tent. And, well, just see Leviticus chapter 9:24 for yourself. And fire came down from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat of the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Fire came out from before the Lord. Salvation is the picture here, entirely and exclusively of the Lord. No human effort, no human help, no human contribution. The grace of God apart from all human help, merit, religion, or works. What is the lesson here? We add nothing to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We must come to Calvary's cross, receive by faith the blood of Christ, and be saved God's way. So that fire was ignited supernaturally, and second, the fire on the altar was burned continually. The fire was kindled once for all and was never allowed to go out, never to be repeated except at the temple. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn it on the fat and peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. It was burning continually, always ready for sinners to come, the believer's security, a perpetual testimony of Jesus Christ's finished work, once for all, never to be repeated. The poor, lost sinner, once he comes by way of the cross, is forever safe and eternally secure. Why? It's the work of God's grace alone. No one can undo the work of the Lord. When God opens or shuts, it stays that way. The fire was ignited supernaturally. It burned continually. And third, the fire in the altar was used frequently. A priest's work was never done. He never sat down. Day after day, month after month, he fed the fire on the altar and he offered sacrifices for the people. Never stopping. He never sat down. But what a difference when Jesus Christ came. The great high priest, he finished the work. He made one offering for us all, and then he sat down at the Father's right hand. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And if you drop down to verse 11, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being saved, are being sanctified. What lessons do we see here? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. First, the lesson for the sinner, the non-believer. The only way to approach God as a helpless, hell-deserving sinner is by coming to the cross of Jesus Christ for salvation. The only offering to bring to God is faith, trusting entirely in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as a substitute. Second, the lesson for the saint, the believer. The work of Jesus, of Jesus Christ upon Calvary is all sufficient and eternal, once and for all. We must rest in him, entering the complete fellowship and service of the tabernacle. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the first part of it, reads this: but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not saved by good works, but for good works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. Let me ask you, are you saved? Are you abiding in Jesus Christ and growing toward spiritual maturity? You answer those questions. You think about all this, and you have a great day.